Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Wednesday, August 26th. If you went to kindergarten, you probably remember finger paint, nap mats, and snack time. It's one of those experiences that just feels like it's always existed, right? I mean, of course small children go to a place where they sing songs and learn to share. Of course there's a transition zone between home and actual school. I mean, what else would you do with a five-year-old, right? The answer for most of human history was nothing. Five-year-olds worked alongside adults or they just stayed at home. The idea that early childhood was a distinct phase of life requiring a dedicated institution, a trained teacher, and a philosophy built around play rather than instruction, well, that had to be invented by a specific person. And his name was Friedrich Froebel. He was a German crystallographer who had never taught a day in his life. And the government of Prussia considered his ideas so dangerous that they banned kindergartens for 9 years. Okay, let's get into this one. Friedrich Froebel was born in 1782 in a village in what is now known as Central Germany. His mother died when he was just 9 months old. His father, a pastor, was distant and strict. Froebel spent much of his childhood alone in the forest near his home, observing plants and insects. He later described this as the foundation of everything that he believed about learning, not in a romantic way, but in a way that became theory. His career path looked chaotic on paper. He studied forestry. He worked as a surveyor. He became a crystallographer at a mineralogical museum in Berlin. He almost became an architect. And then, almost on a whim, he took a job at a school in Frankfurt that followed the ideas of Swiss educator Johann Pestalozzi. Pestalozzi believed that children learned through direct experience, not through memorization. His students handled objects. They drew. They went outside. Sounds crazy, but this was unusual in the early 1800s, when most education meant recitation. Froebel absorbed Pestalozzi's ideas and pushed them even further. He spent years working at schools and orphanages, developing his philosophy. He noticed something that seems obvious now, but was definitely not at the time. It was that the youngest children, the ones under 7, were the most natural learners in the room. They asked questions constantly. They built things and knocked them down. They invented rules for games and then they changed the rules. They were not miniature adults who needed to be tamed. They were operating in a completely different mode of being. Froebel believed that that mode was something to nurture, not suppress. In 1837, at the age of 55, he opened his first institution for young children in the town of Bad Blankenburg. He called it Play and Activity Institute, and just 2 years later, he renamed it. He had been walking through the forest, thinking about what children were and what adults around them should be, and the name came to him fully formed. He called it Kindergarten, also known as Children's Garden. The metaphor was deliberate and precise. Children were plants. Teachers were gardeners. You do not hammer a plant into shape, right? You give it soil, you give it water, light, and you let it grow according to its own nature. This was not a warm sentiment. It was a pedagogical revolution. Pedagogical here just means that it relates to the methods of theory, teaching, and stuff like that. Kindergarten, by the way, was not just daycare with a nice name. Froebel designed a complete educational system, and its centerpiece was a set of objects that he called gifts. The first gift was a set of 6 soft woolen balls in different colors. The second gift was a wooden sphere, a cylinder, and a cube. The gifts became progressively more complex. Building blocks, paper folding, weaving, modeling clay, stuff like that. The idea was that children would handle these objects and, through play, discover fundamental truths about the world. Unity, form, symmetry, transformation, cause and effect, all of that stuff. Froebel believed that these were not things you just told children. They were things that children told you, if you gave them the right materials and got out of their way, of course. He also wrote songs and finger plays. Dozens of them, actually. Many of them were designed to be sung while doing specific activities with the gifts. The most famous song he wrote is one that still goes like this, and maybe you know it. It goes, "This is the way we clap our hands, clap our hands, clap our hands. This is the way we clap our hands so early in the morning." Or some version of it. Froebel's kindergarten was working. But then, in 1851, the Prussian government banned kindergartens. The official reason was vague. Something about atheist tendencies and destructive to religion. The actual reason was actually political. Froebel's ideas were connected to the liberal reform movements sweeping through Germany in the aftermath of the 1848 revolutions. teaching children to think for themselves, to experiment, to question, to learn through discovery rather than obedience, well, that was dangerous. The Prussians recognized it immediately, so it wasn't about finger paint, it was about how you raise citizens. The ban lasted 9 years. Froebel died in 1852, never seeing it lifted, but the idea had already escaped. German political refugees fleeing the crackdowns after 1848 brought kindergarten to the United States. The first English language kindergarten was opened in Wisconsin in 1856, shout out Wisconsin, and it was run by a German immigrant named Margaret Schruse. But the pivotal moment came on August 26, 1873. That is when Susan Blow, the daughter of a wealthy St. Louis manufacturer, opened the first public kindergarten in the United States. It was opened in a suburb of St. Louis called Cardonalet, and it was free. Any family could send their children. Blow at the time was just 29 years old. She had spent a year in Germany studying Froebel's methods, and she returned convinced that kindergarten should not be a luxury for families who could afford it. She thought that it should be part of public school systems, and that they should be available to everyone. She would go on to train teachers and establish dozens of kindergartens across St. Louis, creating the model that spread across the country over the next 50 years. Froebel's creation of kindergarten has had such an impact on the world. Do you remember Frank Lloyd Wright, the legendary American architect? Well, it's said that his mother bought Froebel blocks at the 1876 Philadelphia Centennial Exposition and gave them to her young son. Wright later wrote that the geometric shapes, the sense of structure and symmetry that he absorbed from those blocks, formed the foundation of his entire architectural philosophy. The maple wood blocks, he said, are my fingers to this day. It's pretty amazing. The list of people that it influenced is quite long. Buckminster Fuller, the inventor of the geodesic dome, which that dome is like an igloo, think of the igloo shape. He also played with Froebel blocks as a child. So did Paul Klee and Wassily Kandinsky, who were two of the most influential artists of the 20th century. The Bauhaus movement, which shaped everything from modern furniture to the design of Apple products, well, they drew heavily on Froebel's belief that fundamental forms, sphere, cube, cylinder, they could all be the building blocks of creative work. Froebel believed that if you gave children the right tools at the right age, they would discover truths about the world that adults had forgotten. 150 years of some of the most creative minds in history playing with his blocks, and later explicitly said that those blocks shaped his thinking. So, I think he was right. Okay, let's close this one out. We spend an enormous amount of energy thinking about what to teach children, and almost none of the time and energy thinking about when they're ready to learn it. Froebel's insight was that there is a window, roughly ages 3 to 7, when the mind does not learn by being told things. It learns by touching things and moving them around and seeing what happens. He called it kindergarten, also known as children's garden. The name sounds soft. The idea was sharp. Give them blocks and colored yarn and paper that they can fold into shapes and then get out of their way. So stay informed, stay curious, emphasis on the curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.